You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Down with the King for years, about 10 of them.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, and we have a big show for you guys and girls this week. It is the official start, I guess, to the road to WrestleMania for the Kings of Sport. It's going to be a short trip, but hopefully it'll be a good one. We've also got a lot of hoops to talk about this week, of course. First week of March Madness is coming to a close. We're recording this on Sunday afternoon. So by the time we get through with today, 1 week of the tournament will be in the books. So we got a lot to talk about that. And who knows? We might even get into some pizza. But speaking of pizza, let me bring in my co-host. He hails from the City of Angels. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus. Better ingredients, better pizza. So now we cool with Papa John's, fam? Vandenberg, what's going on, man?
Who said we're cool?
I mean, your boy, the big fella, the big fundamental, is down with Papa John's now.
I can't hate on Chad for getting his money.
Yeah.
What is it with Shaq and companies? And I don't want to disparage. Well, I was going to say I don't want to disparage Papa John's, but I kind of do. what is it with Shaq and these lower mid-card companies he hooked up?
Yeah.
First it was Radio Shaq.
The General.
And then it was, which I think he just hooked up with because of the name thing. Mm-hmm. And now it's Papa John's.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to, you know, somebody's got to do it, right? If not Shaq, it'd be someone else. Probably someone else not black. So, yeah, look at it that way.
It'd have been a Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah.
but we got our own unicorn here. I don't even know where I was going with that segue. But you heard the man in the background. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a friend of the program. He's not even a guest anymore. He's part of the extended Kings of Sport family. He is the host of the 20 Twin Twin, which just released the Tulsi Gabbard episode this past weekend. And he's got a new project that we'll talk about later on in the show. Give it up. Also from Los Angeles, the professor, Christopher Markey Seeley, KME. How you doing this week, brother?
I am doing great. How's it going, y'all?
Good, man. You putting in the order for Papa John's?
Papa John's is disgusting, man. I try, and it's just not good pizza. I can put up with mild racism, and if the food is good, that's why I still eat at Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A, man. Chick-fil-A. Yeah.
Chick-fil-A is undefeated. Yeah, even gay people eating at Chick-fil-A. That's how good Chick-fil-A is.
Yeah, I know. The one in West Hollywood is like, I thought they were boycotted. I go there, and then there's a line, like, wrapped around the damn street. I can't mess with Papa John's.
Yeah, if Papa John's were good enough, maybe they'd have a claim to winning back the black vote, so to speak. But no, like, it's too greasy. Like, the only good thing about Papa John's to me,
the garlic sauce.
The sauce.
Yeah, that's cool.
The garlic sauce is hitting. Everything else is just average pizza.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And like, when you get through eating Papa John's, it's almost like, you know, you gotta take a Rolaids or a Tums. And speaking of Rolaids or Tums, Marcus Vandenberg, watch the segue magic. It's very much like this year's NCAA tournament because it's very chalky.
Mm.
Done. I'm done for the whole segment.
This is why you're the professional broadcaster of the two.
But yeah, Marcus, like, I got to be honest. Like, I don't want to come on here and lie to the people and pretend like I've been super excited about this tournament. Like, I'm excited about teams and individuals, you know, particularly Zion Williamson and seeing what he's going to do. But I don't know. This year I haven't been – maybe it's because I got more stuff on my plate this year, but I just hadn't been as excited about the tournament as I have been in years past.
Did you do a bracket?
I didn't even do a bracket this year.
Same here. I didn't do a bracket either. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It feels – well, I think for me personally, sort of working in sports is sort of – I don't want to say soured me to the tournament, but I think you view it differently. You view it as, okay, this is 4 days of work, not 4 days of fun. But Thursday morning rolled around, and I was like, I don't even care to do a bracket. And I've watched a good portion of the tournament just being in the office, and I couldn't tell you anything the first 3 days that really stood out in terms of a game. I mean, it's been sort of, eh.
Thursdays used to be like one of the best days in sports.
Man,
like that first day of the tournament.
I remember being in school, being in middle school and high school, and would try to sneak into classrooms that were showing the tournament during lunch and stuff. It was like it was a big deal. And yep. now that was when you had one game on. You didn't have all four games on. You had to sort of ride with whatever CBS wanted to show you.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you can watch all the games, it's sort of like, all right, well, unless your team is in it, you don't have that same, I think, investment into it.
What about you, Chris? Have you been excited about the tournament so far?
Mildly. To my old alma mater, the University of Tennessee is still in it, so I'm kind of like looking out for them. Zion Williamson, I'm just praying that he somehow ends up on the Lakers next year. you know, wishful thinking, I know. But I'm not really the tournament. I haven't been invested in that thing for a while. It's because, like, I just find with college lately, the guys that I think are going to go to the NBA and be stars just aren't really doing that anymore. So it's kind of hard for me to invest in it.
I was going to say the one thing,
exciting thing is Ja Morant. That's been the one standout. Mm-hmm. Even though Murray State got destroyed yesterday by Florida State.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think Ja Morant sort of secured himself as the number two pick based on his performance against Marquette. He had a triple-double, only the ninth triple-double in March Madness history. He's just a very – and I don't think – you know, people weren't watching Murray State before this weekend. So,
no.
He's a very explosive point guard, sort of a guy that one of the Murray State coaches discovered. A guy who's probably, you know – made himself a whole lot of money this season playing college basketball as a sophomore.
And I'm glad you brought the money, Marcus, because I've got two theories as to why I don't feel like there's a lot of excitement around this tournament. Number one is the lack of upsets, which we already talked about. Like, you know, there are maybe some mild upsets here or there, but you're not getting that Cinderella team this year.
No Cinderella yet. Irvine could be the one if they beat Oregon tonight.
I don't see that.
But even, I mean, we'll take that. I mean, Oregon's at 12, so you're going to have a quote-unquote.
Yeah, and I would say Oregon's
Cinderella.
The only reason Oregon's at 12 is because they were missing Bull Bull for so much of the season.
Yeah, and the Pac-12 was terrible.
Yeah.
The only reason why Oregon is in the tournament is because they won the Pac-12 tournament.
Right.
They were not going to be in at-large, so that's why they're... They're also a 12. But, yeah, we have a 12 versus a 13 tonight as the lone late game at 9:40 Eastern. So
I'm sure no one's going to watch this game. There's not too many double-digit seeds still left around. After this weekend, I don't think we'll see too many.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, Marcus, is speaking of money, I don't even want to say scandal because it's not like this is news to anybody that's been following collegiate athletics over the years. But the idea about, you know, the the NCAA and the scandal in terms of recruiting and college players and who's getting paid under the table, and should college kids get paid over the table? Should mm-hmm. they receive a stipend? That age-old argument still kind of cropping up right before the tournament. I think people will be invested when we get to the Elite Eight and the Final Four, because those are the marquee events. But I think early on, I don't feel the appetite from the average common fan that you have in years past.
Yeah, it's and even then, I think it depends on the matchups. You know, God forbid if Duke loses tonight. If Duke is out, that's really going to kill a lot of the general fan sort of watching this tournament. And, you know, not that baseball is as popular as March Madness, but baseball starts on Thursday, which is the first day of the Sweet 16 round. So I think you're going to have maybe a little less eyeballs on the tournament this weekend with the return of baseball. And as we get closer to the end of the NBA and NHL season. So, and then for wrestling fans, the Final Four weekend is WrestleMania weekend. So, I'm not going to be watching much basketball that Saturday in New York. And then that Monday, which is the Final Four, is also usually the best for all the year.
Yep. And it's crazy though, because like you're talking about the enthusiasm you used to have, Marcus. I used to be so hyped about this time of year. Not only would I fill out an NCAA tournament bracket, I'd fill out a bracket for the men's and the women's, and I'd fill out an NIT bracket.
And NIT,
I was that hyped about the postseason basketball, but now I'm like, if it's on, like I'll watch after we get through recording tonight. I'll watch whatever games are still going on, but it's not like I don't have that investment that I used to have in years past.
By the way, speaking of Tennessee, Chris, Iowa has come all the way back. They were down 25.
Damn.
Yeah.
It is now a 1-point Tennessee lead. All right, continue on as I watch this game.
All right, yeah, there's going to be a bunch of depressed people on my timeline today, my Tennessee folks.
I had no idea you grew up in Knoxville. I went to high school in Knoxville until...
I did half my childhood in Los Angeles, half of my childhood in Knoxville, yeah. Okay. And then, I went to UT for a good year before mm-hmm. I fell out. Yeah.
How'd you like Knoxville?
It was okay. It's not like, you know, I'm back in LA, so I obviously mm-hmm. didn't love the place, but it was cool. It taught me how to interact with red state people and mm-hmm. Showed me, like, you know, because even in LA, now without getting too far off a subject, people can get into an LA bubble where they think the world is like LA. And Knoxville showed me that it wasn't. So, but yeah, you go in the University of Tennessee. I was never a big fan of the football team, but the basketball team I always paid attention to. Yeah, man.
So you're saying you had to, when you went to class at UT, you had to work twice as hard just to keep up with the other students?
No, I didn't do that.
That's a little foreshadowing.
To
the next segment.
Working hard is something I just did not do at UT. Mm. That place is a crazy, crazy party school. Work was just not in my vocabulary in those days.
Before we wrap up the NCAA talk, Marcus, do you think that maybe from an audience standpoint, from a viewer standpoint, do you think it's Duke or nothing? Is that what I'm hearing you say? If Duke somehow gets eliminated this round or the next, that will kind of, other than the teams and their fan bases that are involved in the final, that'll kind of dissipate the audience for CBS?
I think so. You know, looking at some of the teams left, Gonzaga, not historically a TV draw. you know, you got Michigan State, LSU, which will be a fun matchup. UNC might be your best backup choice if Duke doesn't make it. I don't think UVA is really drawing people like that. Purdue. So, yeah, Kentucky.
Maybe Kentucky.
Maybe, but this isn't the Kentucky teams of past where I think, you know, most people didn't tell you anyone on this year's Kentucky team.
No, I don't think
Houston,
so.
Houston's in it, which is a surprise.
Yeah, Ronnie will be watching at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that'll wrap up our NCAA coverage for this week, and we'll certainly have more to talk about next week. But, Chris, you talk about that L.A. bubble. I think the Lakers bubble has burst. Why don't you speak on that, sir?
Okay, I'll spend some time on this. The Lakers are bums this year, like they were last year and like they were the year before.
At what point did they become bums, though? Because early on in the season, I thought they were high hopes for Lakers.
When LeBron got hurt, they became bums. Come on.
Yeah, when LeBron got hurt, they became – here's the thing with all that. I do think, and I might be in the minority, but I do think that if the Lakers were an Eastern Conference team, LeBron with those bums, they'd be number three or four. I truly do believe that. I think the Western Conference is just not a conference where you could have LeBron out for as many games as he was out for and then just come back and be relevant again. And these guys are just not good. I mean, I always thought that Lonzo Ball was a – not Lonzo Ball. Well, I guess they're a package deal, but Lonzo and LeVar, Lonzo, I never thought he was a quality pick at number two. I just didn't. I saw him at UCLA, and I never thought he was that much better than Jordan Farmar. I've said that numerous times. I thought he was – what was what he was. I thought he could be not like a focal point. He's better this year, but still, I think at this point in his career, he is where he is. He's at. And I think we need to probably get rid of him and then just get rid of some other cats too. And, you know, there was one person we got rid of that I wasn't that happy about, but yeah.
Who was that?
Man, I can't even think of this. That's
Zubac?
Zubac, yeah. So, yeah. but you know, it is what it is, man. I gave up. The minute LeBron got injured, I knew our days were numbered. So.
Yeah. I think
Marcus.
The LeBron thing, it would not surprise me if we found out after the season that he did, in fact, tear his groin completely. Mm. And that's why, you know, it went from a day-to-day to a week-to-week to he's out 20 games type injury. I think a combination of that and a combination of these Anthony Davis trade rumors. I think, you know, you have young guys on this team, and if you have them sort of dangled out there in these trade deals and in the headlines, I think mentally – that does impact your game. And, you know, I think that probably didn't help chemistry. I think Lonzo Ball, the numbers have proven that the team is better when he's on the floor and he's been, you know, he's done for the year. So it is a combination of things that did not go right for this team. And, you know, I think Laker fans, the smart ones knew that this was going to be a long-term process. This was not going to be a first year we're going to win the title type situation. So I think go ahead.
I thought we'd at least get number
playoffs. Seven, I thought they made the playoffs. Yeah.
That's what I was hoping for.
And I think, you know,
change the world, but
if you take out the injury, I think they would have made the playoffs, I believe, if LeBron was healthy. Even with Ingram going down and Lonzo going down, I think if LeBron was around for those games, they would have figured out how to at least sneak in. But with Ingram's situation, his health situation, I think he's not going to be tradable.
No.
So that, I think, makes the idea of them moving Lonzo more of a possibility, especially depending on how this draft goes. Let's say you know, let's say the Lakers somehow get the number two pick and they can go after John Morant. You know, what do you do then? I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the free agent situation.
Do you think they even make that pick, though? Do you think because, yes, this is a process, but it's also a process with a window? Because LeBron only has so many peak years left. Do you think they would think about, you know, and I'm speaking of Magic and Pelinka, packaging that pick with some of those younger players in order to bring in a bigger name to team up with LeBron for the short term?
Well, I think they would use free agency to do that. I think if they were to package, let's say, Lonzo in their first-round pick to move up, I think they'd be moving up to get a Zion or to get a Ja Morant or to get a R.J. Barrett. I don't think they would use that to then bring in an older free agent who's got years on his deals. I think you can get those guys this offseason. There's enough guys out there. Even if you don't want a KD or don't get a KD, they can get a Klay Thompson or something along those lines and sort of build around those two. So,
Draymond.
Yeah.
No, thank you. But they're both clutch sports now, so that's also an interesting dynamic. So,
yep.
It's going to be an interesting offseason again for the Lakers, and the pressure is now back on not only LeBron, but also Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka to deliver on what they've sort of been promising in terms of getting that second marquee player to play alongside LeBron.
Yeah, I always thought this was a three-year plan, not only in terms of getting the Lakers right, but it's not just on the Lakers. It's also the decline of the Warriors.
Yeah.
And right. I think the Warriors still, like, I think they'll win the title this year. Next year, depending on who stays, who goes, we might start to see the decline. But if you're the Lakers, you want it to sync up. Like, I know everybody talks, Chris, about, oh, I want to beat the best at their best. That ain't real life. You want to get the tip. You want to get the bag any way possible. So if you're the Lakers, you want to be rising and ascending while the Warriors are going on a downward slope.
Right, yeah, the league has changed. Nobody cares about getting the title. Everyone wants as much help as they can get and as much money as they can get. And it just is what it is. But that help aspect is there, and the Lakers are just not they're not playing that game right now. They've got LeBron and a bunch of bums, and you know, and I'm calling all of them bums, man. I think Snoop Dogg and that rat he did was 100% right. I don't think that those guys, you should your record shouldn't sink that badly because this guy missed some games, but. I think that's again the Western Conference.
Well, I think it comes down to coaching, number one, right?
Because if you look
at the Clippers, right? The Clippers roster. I mean, I'm not going to call those guys bums, but they don't have marquee superstars, and Doc Rivers has led this team. A team that was, you know, you can say they were trying to tank, but they traded Tobias Harris away for it was it, you know, it's a good deal for the future, but they traded one of their top guys away during the season. That has not slowed them down at all, and they have guys.
So you're putting this on Luke?
Oh, I totally put part of this on Luke.
The
young guys have not developed the way they should be, and that starts with coaching. And you know, I think that's the other component of this offseason for the Lakers is. There will be a new head coach, and that is probably 100% guarantee that that's going to happen. It's a matter of who are they going to go after? Is it going to be like a Ty Lue, someone else that LeBron is comfortable with, or someone?
Chris doesn't want Ty Lue.
No, it's got to be like a Mark Jackson or somebody with some kind of like credibility.
Ty Lue's got a ring though.
Yeah, he's got a ring with LeBron. See, this is a problem I have with these guys that are labeled as good coaches. They're okay coaches that had great players. Like Ty Lue had LeBron. At LeBron's peakest of years. like, what's the bum that you that was a coach of Miami? Spoelstra?
Spoelstra, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, no. It's, get a good coach. Get somebody with some clout under their belt that LeBron
Doc Rivers. Respect.
Doc Rivers, you know. I don't think LeBron is going to play. LeBron thinks he knows more than these young coaches. I mean, he just does. I mean, he'll probably play good for Ty Lue, but
you saying LeBron needs somebody that not that anybody could check LeBron, but he needs somebody with a little bit of authority, a little bit of gravitas.
Yeah, somebody that's got a resume of their own that LeBron is going to respect their direction. Because history has shown there's not too many coaches like that in the NBA. Like LeBron, all of his coaches, he's thought that, you know, he thinks he knows more than, you know, and he probably does. You know, I'm not even saying it's a wrong assumption, but he doesn't respect their direction. I think with someone like an older like coach, like a Mark Jackson or Doc Rivers, or
you mentioned
someone
older coaches.
Mm.
I wonder if Phil Jackson's ever been tempted to call the Lakers.
That's what they need.
I mean,
yeah.
That's, you know, I know he's in up. He's 73, and I'm sure he's enjoying retirement, but. And I don't know his situation with Jeannie, how that would complicate things at the moment.
True.
You know, if you're Phil and you see LeBron and you're getting, you know, your one last chance at another superstar. And just thinking, like, just as a coach, let's say you've coached Jordan, Kobe and Shaq, to be honest, and then LeBron, and to win championships of all three of them, that would be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
So, but I also don't know what his health situation's like, if he wants to even be bothered with the grind of coaching. But if you're looking at this is a short-term deal, like we have 2 years to get this done, I would go after Phil.
Interesting. I like that. So, felt the therapy here, Chris? Have you got it off your chest? Are you good now?
Yeah. It is therapeutic to kind of talk about this and like toss it away. Like my old preachers used to say, pray those sins away and toss them into the sea of forgetfulness. And that's kind of what I want to do with the Lakers for this season and just enjoy the rest of basketball.
Mm. Are you excited about the playoffs?
Yeah, the playoffs. Yeah, I'm always cool with the playoffs, man. Like, you know, even if my teams aren't in it, it's still interesting to watch. I do think it's going to be the Warriors again. I do think the Warriors have. I think it's just going to be them. You know,
I don't know.
I mean, there's a chance that it won't be, but. And as a matter of fact, I'd be happy if it isn't. But I'm bracing myself.
That's the thing about the NBA, like playoffs. Like, even if you don't have a dog in the fight, so to speak, it's still exciting. So, we'll be watching out for that in the weeks to come. Although, you know, Marcus has predicted, he just threw out the possibility of Phil Jackson coming back. We'll see if he can get on board with LeBron and the posse.
Yeah.
So, trying to think of a good transition out, but oh yes. We're on the road to WrestleMania, but we're going to take a detour. We're going to, you know, get the GPS recalculating Marcus Vandenberg, because we're not even worried about WrestleMania. Next segment, we are talking about the road to Kofi Mania.
Ah, yeah.
So don't go anywhere. Everybody watching on the Patreon feed, we'll be right here. Everybody listening on the classic audio version, we'll be back after a quick break. So stick and stay, because we got more Kings of Sports right after this.
SOS, are you the pilot? in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
You buck up in a bad man place, you know, see you run for days, you can't get away. I bring bully for sorrow and pain, you should have never tried to step on my face. Little boy, and it's a shame, what a shame.
What's going on, party people and everybody out there in podcast land? It's your man, Nate. And we'll get back to the show in just a little while. But while we got some time, I just wanted to let you guys know the three ways you can get in touch with the Kings of Sport. Way number one, you can tweet us on Twitter, because that's where people tweet people, apparently. You can hit us up on Twitter at KOS_POD. That's CosPod on Twitter. Way number two, you can email us at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. That's thekingsofsport@gmail.com. And finally, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. So there you have it. Those are the three ways you can get in touch with us. You can leave feedback. You can join the discussion. Three ways you can be down with the Kings. We good, Marcus? Do we have to pay warranty for this? Because I ain't got G-Funk money.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Back on the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we got to give you what you want, we got to give you what you need, and what you want and need is ratchetness, and that's what segment four is all about. But unlike, you know, your typical segment four, you know, we're not really getting into the ratchet stuff. You know, no R. Kelly this week, no Donald Trump this week, you know, no Kanye this week. We're not talking ratchetness, we're talking wrestling. We are about 2 weeks away from the biggest show of the year in professional wrestling, WrestleMania, of course, coming from New York. The people on the classic version can't see me doing air quotes. coming to you from New York. But yeah, one of the big stories, Marcus Vandenberg, is the rise of one Kofi Kingston, who, if you go back 2 months ago, we didn't even know where his place was going to be on the card. Was it going to be a battle royal spot? Was it going to be something tag team with the New Day? And now he's in a position to be in one of the higher profile matches on the show.
Yeah. We can just assume he's going to be wrestling Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania for the title.
Yeah.
I think the question now is, will he actually win the match? Or is this just going to set up for another rematch down the road?
What do you think, Chris? Because I know this is something, and we'll get into some of the deeper conversations around this here in a little bit. But just looking at this from a pro wrestling fan standpoint, what have you thought about kind of the build to this? And do you think they'll actually pull the trigger with Kofi at WrestleMania?
Okay. With the Kofi stuff, I'll save the deeper stuff for later. But if I was going to go by history, I would say he's not winning the title at WrestleMania. But I must say that WWE Raw, SmackDown, both shows, all the WWE programming outside of NXT is like the most dystopian shit on the planet to watch. It's like all the bad guys like are just one up in the good guys every fucking week. I'm there's no levity at all. It's like every single week I watch this shit. Whereas back in the day when Stone Cold would be going for a title at WrestleMania, this dude would be, most of the time he would get one up the bad guys. Like maybe the week before WrestleMania, The Rock or whoever he was fighting would get the drop on him. But going into the show, he didn't look like such a punk. And Kofi, people are behind him still, which is a good thing, but he looks like an absolute chump. And, you know, Vince McMahon just, it just reeks of past times in this country that I'm not a big fan of.
Mm. Marcus, respond to that, Marcus, because I've got a thought too, but I want to hear what you've thought about the story. So
I'm just more curious of who's booking this story.
Yeah.
Because we know that Kaz has left the company. He was the only black writer at the time on the staff. Dave Schilling has been hired by the company, but I don't know if he started yet, and if he has started. Yeah, I think he started after this Kofi thing really took off. So he was the other black writer that's currently around. But this is what they're doing is it's a delicate balance of trying to blur the lines between wrestling and reality when it comes to race and racial relations in this country and just sort of how black people sort of feel in general. Mm-hmm. So that's been really interesting to see how they get around this. I mean, they have not mentioned race at once during this run, but it's implied.
And they did call the New Day Young Bucks on an episode of SmackDown. There's nothing subtle about that. That is a racially charged term. It was used in the 1800s. That's what they used to call black male slaves. And
subtle about it to us.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then
it's subtle to us, but to the quote unquote mainstream WWE universe.
Yeah, to them it's like, well, that's the thing. I was talking to some dumbasses on Twitter. Oh, he was referring to Cody and the AEW and stuff. Like, motherfucker, man. When have you ever heard Vince McMahon refer to wrestlers as Young Bucks? Mm-hmm. You know? Like, that's never happened. That was done on Vince McMahon was like in his late 30s, early 40s in the fucking 80s when Reagan tried to use that term as a dog whistle for black men. I'm not, like, come the fuck on, man. Like, and I don't necessarily have a problem with it if Kofi's gonna win. If you're putting me through all these, like, racial dog whistles and just all this dystopia, have the guy win the belt at Mania.
Yeah.
So I can move on with my life. Hopefully he gets a slightly better run than Ron Simmons got with the WCW title.
Oh, man.
But, you know, I'm just hoping that, like, you know, that, like, the show needs to be good and good guys need to win. Like, and I think WWE doesn't understand the good guy, bad guy concept too much. I think when you're dealing with, like, fiction, you're supposed to like the bad guy. You're not supposed to want the bad guy to beat the good guy, but you there's some you, on some level you like the bad guy. Like, people like the Joker, people like Lex Luthor, but they're not wanting the Joker or Lex Luthor to beat Batman, but they like them as villains in their place, and they like to see them get their comeuppance. With what they're doing with Kofi and Vince McMahon, and not just them, but Baron Corbin, there's a list of things. People, this shit is getting old, man. Like, you can't keep having Vince McMahon do this every single week and expect people to stay invested in it. I just think that's a very ignorant thing to expect.
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, like, I've done so far, they've done a good job telling the story. I do think Kofi needs to get more, and maybe we'll see him get more.
Yeah. You there, Nate?
Oh, Nate froze up.
Yeah.
Well, Nate unfreezes. I think it's interesting that.
Or these next couple.
There he goes.
Nate, you're coming in and out, man.
Nate, your Skype sucks.
It's the white man. He's trying to shut us down.
Yeah, it's McMahon. Who do these bucks think there are?
Yeah.
So I'm coming in now?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Oh, and you're gone. Uh-huh. All right. We will add Nate back in. I think it's interesting that Daniel Bryan is in this spot going against Kofi because,
yeah,
as we've seen with a lot of the sort of response from the locker room, like, Daniel Bryan would fit into that forgotten category if he weren't the champion, yeah, if he were in the storyline. So personally, I just wonder what he feels about sort of being the antagonist in this role, because I'm sure deep down he sides with Kofi. He understands where Kofi's coming from,
mm-hmm,
but he's sort of been put in this bad spot where he's quote unquote. Well, they've done good about making Vince the true bad guy and sort of taking some of that heat off of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Because they haven't associated directly Daniel with Vince yet.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing either. I do think that there needs to be more heat on Daniel Bryan. I know Daniel Bryan is probably not going to be comfortable with like all the dog whistles and stuff, mm-hmm, like that. But I do think he needs to be the focal. And I think the role he's in as like, you know, now he's calling other guys a B-plus player. I think that makes him a hypocrite to a certain extent, and I think that's a good place to go by, because I think Kofi is the best opponent to make Daniel Bryan look like a true bad guy. I think other people, Daniel Bryan is going to get a grunt of those chairs. I think with Kofi, most people like Kofi, you know, most people want him to win, whereas with AJ Styles, if he was feuding with him again, you'll have half of the people, or not half, but like a quarter of the people still cheering for Bryan. But I think with Kofi Kingston, most people are going to be cheering for him against Bryan. So, yeah. Just because of the newness of it all.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they would have done if let's say, even if a Styles were champion. I think with Styles, there's definitely just knowing, mm-hmm, sort of what he's like outside the ring and sort of some of his thoughts and, you know,
yeah,
his beliefs. I would love to see an AJ Styles that is cranked up to 11, just who he is as a person,
yeah,
and how that would have played out against Kofi.
Yeah.
Someone like Randy Orton, who you could easily picture in that role.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I think they're trying to make the best of what they can with Daniel, and I think that we're getting to the point where, in order to have this match, there's going to be some type of either walkout or protest, or there's been, mm-hmm, enough of this,
yeah,
chatter online with other wrestlers that are now chiming in on what the New Day have said since last week, and I think that's how we get to this match, as opposed to, you know, the New Day just attacking Vince, and which would be probably not the best look for a couple of reasons.
Yeah, yeah, it wouldn't be, and it would I wouldn't mind them attacking like Vince McMahon if like Vince McMahon like smacks one of them in the face or something, mm-hmm. and then they attack him. But I don't want to just see them attacking this
like old, Kevin Owens,
yeah, something like that. But not just I don't want to see them attacking this old white guy, you know, like that, because that's not our answers to everything, you know. Mm-hmm. So
and that's where this angles is very it could be very problematic depending on who's writing it, because there are some stereotypes that, you know, these guys are sort of facing as black men going against this, right. You know, this white man. So, you know, in terms of a going into media, the most interesting angle, it would be this, I think. I think this is now leapfrog the women's match.
Yeah.
Where I feel like that's sort of convoluted at this moment.
Yeah, it was like the women's match was interesting at first, and then like it fell off of a cliff. Like I think probably the moment they insisted that Charlotte had to be in this match, which I understand for because I think they want to have two women on the roster to say they main evented WrestleMania, mm-hmm. and that's just not. And that's just not Ronda Rousey, because she's probably going to leave for a little while.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still just very convoluted. It doesn't – it's like, why would you – like, it doesn't make any sense why Charlotte's not going after Asuka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Welcome back, Nate.
Hey, Nate.
Nate is now – he's frozen again.
Yeah. Oh, there he is. He's kind of moving. You got a Max Headroom thing going.
Yeah.
Talking.
Nate, we should probably wrap this up since your internet is crapping out here. All right. Nate is now frozen again. He laughs and then he freezes up. This is all great podcast material here. If you have the video version of the show, you can see Nate just sort of staring at you.
Yeah.
We will wrap this up. So I think we talked offline. Kami, you are not going to WrestleMania. You are going to watch the WrestleMania show from home, though?
Yeah, I'm going to watch it from home. I'm going to the AEW event. So those were the choices. And last year was the same thing. I picked All In over going to WrestleMania. So, but it, like I said, I will feel some sort of regret if Kofi wins the title there. And that's about, that's pretty much it, man. Yeah, so.
So you're going to Double or Nothing?
Yeah, I'm going to Double or Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going
to be out there as well, so.
Okay, I'll see you there then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we will wrap this up. KME,
all right.
plug away your projects and the Patreon show and anything else you got going on.
All right, so just check me out on the 2020. We're still talking presidential candidates. I don't have a person I'm supporting just yet. Right now I'm still whoever gets the nomination is who I'm going to support. Mm-hmm. And then also we're doing this show, NWA Nubian Wrestling Advocates. It's going to be about black wrestling, black wrestlers. We'll go over some black wrestling history. The first guest on the show is Dr. Julian L.D. Shabazz. He's a black wrestling historian. He wrote the Black Stars of Professional Wrestling. Huh. He's appeared on Live Audio Wrestling. He's appeared on BET, ESPN, just talking black wrestling. He only has a second edition of his book, Black Stars of Wrestling, that came out in 2010. So, but we'll be talking to him about current stuff and, you know, the state of black wrestling. And he's really good about noticing some of the subtle nuances and the racial aspect of black wrestlers, not just in WWE, but in all forms of wrestling. So I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Real quick, what are your thoughts on Mr. Beto O'Rourke?
I like him. I've got my Beto shirt here, but I don't know if I'm voting for him for president. I spent some time in Texas stomping for him for Congress. Mm-hmm. I'm not Congress, the Senate. I knew he wasn't gonna win, but you know, still wishful thinking. And you know, if he wins, I'll vote for him. I think he's a good candidate. He knows how to raise money. He knows how to engage people, and that's kind of where we're at as Democrats. What Democrats like need to do now is just. In the past, I wasn't for the grandiose promises you couldn't keep. Now I kind of think like that Trump, his angle is let's just promise a bunch of bullshit and figure it out later. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Democrats should go quite that far, but I do think the Democrats need to have some like solid issues that they're going to stand on top of and that they want to engage people to vote on.
Yeah, he's. I think he'd be very polarizing for the Democrats, mm-hmm. and I can see why some people might not be sort of down with him.
It's like, do you want to win or do you want to, you know, complain about, you know, like you said, there's reasons to not like him, mm-hmm. but there's reasons to not like anybody.
Yeah. And, yeah.
You know, so this is what it is.
All right. And you can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill. Nate, who we lost in the process, he's at Nate Mosaic in the number 8, MOZAIK. And you can find him on Twitter and Instagram, and you can listen to his other podcasts as well. And the Patreon, patreon.com/thekingsofsport, where you can view this video and you can listen to KME's political shows. And we have our interview with TJ McClune that we did last month. We should probably have another interview coming soon, hopefully, with a guest to be determined. And
oh, yeah. Let me plug my Twitter real quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my Twitter is KMEZ Does It. That's KMEA. Oh, wait, is it Z? KME, the letter Z, and then Does It. DOESIT. And then Christopher Marquise Ely across all platforms. That's KRISTOFFER EALY. That should be good enough to find me. And yeah, thank you. Thank you again, Marcus. Thank you, Nate. Wherever you are, off into the abyss.
No problem. For the listeners of Post Wrestling, I will be at the live show that John and Way are doing the day of WrestleMania. So looking forward to seeing those guys in person. That's KME. That was in San Jose that one year we met at a John and Way live show. So always a good time. They seem a lot more official now. We have a comedy show compared to a comedy club instead of a fairway or some type of bar we were at.
Yeah, it's like time. Some outdoor barbecue spot.
Yeah. So that is 2 weeks from today. So we will be there at that. Or I'll be there at that. Holding it down for Nate. So we will close out this show. We will be back next week with another new show, another new edition of the Kings of Sport podcast. So for KME and for Nate Milton, I am Marcus Vandenberg, and we will catch you guys next week. Yeah.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, because that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!